Hey, has lichen sclerosis messed with your relationships? You know, partner, family, friends, even at work? Then you need to join us at the Holistic Healing Summit this May 13th to the 17th, because we're bringing all the experts. We're going to be talking about intimacy, sex, as well as how do you talk to your family, friends, provider, boss? All of those things. And this is a free event, live, virtually, so you can catch it anywhere in the world, May 13th to the 17th, from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. We've got sessions going on all day. Get more information at lssupportnetwork.org/WHS. That's lssupportnetwork.org/WHS.
Hey, welcome. Thank you for coming to listen to the Lichen Sclerosis Podcast. My name is Kathy, and this is our journal of learning about and living with lichen sclerosis. Each week, I either speak to someone or research an aspect of lichen sclerosis and bring you the information so you don't have to. I bring you the real talk without the medical jargon. And this week, we are talking about something a little sexy, a little not sexy, but we're talking about it with a very sexy lady. We're talking lubes with my online bestie and one of the original members of my private group, the LS Warriors, Jacqueline. She's also the author of the Lost Labia Chronicles, which journals her struggles with mental health and sexual health through her journey with lichen sclerosis. She drops so much knowledge. You definitely want to go and subscribe. And she just launched her new website at lostlabia.com. I will have all of her information in the description, lostlabia.com/subscribe. If you haven't checked out my private group, LS Warriors, make sure you go and click the link, read all about it. It's crazy good. And I'm not just saying that. So before we get into our conversation, I want to shout out our sponsor, Lichen Sclerosis Support Network, helping people get diagnosed earlier and getting the treatment and care they deserve. Make sure you check them out at lssupport.net. All right, without further ado, here is All About Lubes with Jacqueline.
This information is for educational purposes and does not constitute medical advice. Speak to your medical professional before making any changes to your care.
We are here to talk about lubrication.
Yes,
artificial lubrication. Yes. And we have the illustrious Jacqueline back. I am so excited to talk to you in this forum again because we have fun. So
yes. And thank you for having me. I love talking about sex and lichen sclerosis, so I'm excited to be here.
Yes, she does. Jacqueline has been experimenting with different lubes for how long would you say?
So I experimented 4 months when I was using it primarily for dilators. And then 2 months with penetrative sex, trying to find which one worked, because as we'll get into, what works for your toys might not be the best for penetration and vice versa.
Ah, good to know. I never even thought of that. So walk us through, what are the different types?
Yeah. And it's funny that you say that, because like, I remember back in the day when I would buy lube from like the drugstore. And I remember just like, you know, you have like the condoms and then like they'll have like the lube. And I had no idea what to look for. Honestly, I think I usually just picked like what was on sale. This'll do. And I had no idea that there were like different types at that point and what to consider when looking at the types.
Yeah.
So, okay. So there is water-based, there's silicone, there's oil-based, And then there's like hybrids. So okay. It might be like an oil and silicone base or something like that. Water-based are quite versatile. They are good and safe for toys, good and safe for penetrative sex, and they're compatible with condoms.
Okay.
So then your silicone is not good for toys if your toys are silicone, because if your toys are silicone and you use a silicone base, it can actually degrade the surface of the silicone toy, which can cause like bacteria in time. And when you're using a toy, a dilator, you really want to clean it properly. Right. So if we're degrading the surface and increasing the likelihood of bacterial buildup on the dilator or the toy, and then we're sticking that in us, probably not the best idea. And if you have lichen sclerosis, you're definitely not searching for more vulvovaginal issues. That's probably not on your radar of things you want. So that's an important point. With your silicone, it's good and safe. It's compatible with condoms, good for penetrative sex. It's very soft and very long lasting. So it's got like a silky texture, and it's really good for like longer sessions, if you will. But when it comes to, you know, vaginal dilators or trainers or any kind of sex toy that's silicone, you probably are going to be better with an oil-based or a water-based.
Okay.
Then oil-based is safe for your toys. It's good for penetrative sex, but it is not compatible with condoms. It can break down the condom. So if you're using an oil base for your toys, switch over to a water or silicone when you're having sex, if you have sex with condoms.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So those are the types. And then the hybrids, I don't really experiment with as much, but because if your hybrid has oil, then that's something to be mindful if you're going to be using condoms. The same thing applies there. Even if it's not as predominantly oil as a pure oil, you'd still want to be mindful of that. So with the hybrid, again, you would want to be mindful of what the hybrid is. So if the hybrid is part silicone, you probably don't want to use with your toys. And if there's oil in it, you want to be mindful if you have sex with condoms.
Got it. And so I've also seen some plant bases. Is that considered an oil, or is that a completely different category?
So I think when it comes to plant-based products, you basically need to read the ingredients.
Okay.
Because they might fall into oil. So for example, and we'll talk brands later, but yes, oil-based is one of the lubricants that I've tried, and it is plant-based, but again, there is oils in it.
Right.
So you want to read it. Alucadabra is another version of a natural plant-based one, right? It's essentially aloe vera. And there's a couple other variants that are predominantly aloe based, and those are plant based. So again, read the label. If it's just aloe vera, then it's just aloe vera. It's not really an oil. It's not silicone, you know, stuff like that. But just because it's natural doesn't mean that there might be some oils in it.
Right.
Or natural, right? So I think that when you're looking at plant based alternatives, I think the best advice really is to look at the ingredients and see, you know, are there oils? Are there anything like that that I should be mindful of? And then go from there.
Okay, perfect. Thanks for the clarification. So walk us through kind of your process and then give us your findings.
I am a very anxious person. And so trying a new product on my vulva made me feel very worried. I was very worried about what if I have a reaction, what does that entail? Could that put me back? You know, there's a lot of worries and concerns. So I basically have like this little baby step, you know, protocol for myself whenever I test out a lube or an emollient or really anything that's going down there. And some people might not take it this detailed and small, but I think, you know what works for you. Right. And your mental health. And I know that for me, moving in very small incremental baby steps is how I feel safe. So basically every time I would get a new lube, I basically like touch my finger to the lube. So basically like a fingertip amount, like just a little bit. And then I do like a patch test. So I'll put it on an area of the vulva. For me, I usually do it on my left labia minora. what's left of it, the resorbed labia minora. And I just basically do a little stamp, like a little touch. That's it. And that's my first test. And I leave that for the day. And if all goes well, I do the same thing the next day, but just a little bit more. So if I just did one fingertip on the labia minora, I'll go down and do a little bit more. Then I take a day off. And if things are still okay, I put it again on the labia minora a third day, and then I let it be, take a day off. And then at that point, typically, and by the way, I am always logging this, at least initially, in a symptom tracker. I do use a symptom tracker that Kathy made.
We'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, because Kathy created this amazing symptom tracker that's fully customizable. So I, at that point, wasn't so focused on tracking my symptoms per se because I was in remission. So I personally customized it to focus on my dilators and sex and orgasms and lube and emollient and stuff like that. So I would have like a drop down for the lube. And then I would basically be like, okay, what kind of reaction did I have, if any? So, you know, after tracking these little patch tests for a few days, I would see, okay, there's no reaction. I'm okay. Then I would do like almost a patch test version also in the vagina because I'm just testing on the vulva. But you could be okay on the vulva, but it might irritate your vagina. So that's another thing to kind of be mindful of, you know, is, you know, the different parts of you. And some parts of you might be okay with something and other parts might not. So then I take a little bit on the dilator, the small one, and kind of just put that inside and make sure that that's okay. And I'll track that for a couple of days. So now we're talking about like a week and a half, which again, I know is very like detailed and not everybody might need that amount of precision.
My listeners like, Jacqueline, I want to get to the sex already. Jesus.
We'll get there. We'll get there. And the, like the lesson is like, it takes time.
Patience. Yeah. Because you know what? Our vulva is sensitive and it doesn't work the way we used to, like before our LS was active. And I've got a story about that, but what the products that worked before may not work anymore. And you never know what ingredient, you know, irritates you now that didn't used to irritate you before. So it is important for you to run these tests because the last thing you want to do is just say, oh, this looks like a good lube, lather it up and start using it. And now you are burning and in so much pain because you didn't have the patience to test. And I call that whole process the carpet test, you know, because when you have a product for the carpets, they tell you to test in an inconspicuous area to make sure that it doesn't bleach the carpet. And, you know, we got to use it on our carpet down there. So, so I thought it was fitting. But yeah, so you do your carpet test. And then once it's good, you move on to.
Yeah, then I start. Yeah.
So let's start with dilators.
Sure. This is very much my personal experience. Not everybody is going to have the same experience with these products. So that's extremely important to note. So I'll start with coconut oil, which is a great one to start with because this is a very polarizing product, or I don't know what else to call it, but there are many folks out there with vulvas that love and swear by coconut oil. And then there's like 50% that are like, do not like.
Yeah.
So again, unfortunately, there is some trial and error involved. And just because one person with lichen sclerosis has had success with a certain lube, unfortunately, doesn't mean that that will be successful for you. Absolutely. And I learned this because Aloe Cadabra wasn't, in the end, one of my favorites, but a lot of people love it. And a lot of folks love Uber Lube, not my favorite one. Okay. So again, just that disclaimer needs to be said.
So how about let's go through from least expensive to most expensive. How about we do it that way? So starting off with the least expensive is coconut oil, right?
Absolutely. Yes. And I think that's why I use it a lot because it is so darn inexpensive and accessible. I don't need to order it online. So a lot of these products, I'm in Canada, so, you know, some of these products that I'm trying out are from the UK or from the States. And with coconut oil, I can walk 5 minutes to the grocery store and get some coconut oil. So coconut oil, for that reason, is the cheapest one and was recommended by my gynecologist. And I use that, and I've personally never had any negative reaction to it. I love it as an emollient. And I also like it with my dilators. The one thing, or I guess the two cons that I would say with using coconut oil with dilators, one, mess. Because you are using a jar instead of a product that has like a pump or like, you know, a squeeze bottle, you kind of have to take it out yourself. So like I use a spoon to take it out. Even if you wash your dilators before, you're like contaminating the coconut oil. So that's what I mean by it's really messy and it can be a bit tedious. So I would have a spoon and I would like scoop some out. But let's say I want some more. Well, now I've already used my fingers to scoop it off the spoon. So it's like, okay, now I got to get like another spoon, scoop more out. And, you know, it can be a bit messy and a bit like, you know, with a spoon, it's just a lot more work than say I just pump the lube out into a thing. Now you could probably make your own makeshift bottle, but you know, I'm not that crafty, so I don't, and I use a spoon. So it's a little bit like tedious and it can be a bit messy. And one thing I did find for me personally was I don't like oils when working with dilators. Not because they irritate me, they don't irritate me, but what I found, especially when I got to the bigger dilators, was it didn't provide like enough thickness almost for things to glide in and out. Like it just felt like there wasn't enough, like
it wasn't slick enough.
Yeah, like I wanted something more substantial. Like when you look at it coating the dilator, it's very thin. Mm-hmm. And especially when you're working with bigger dilators, you really want there to be like more lubrication, more support, more cushion, I guess, around that dilator. So I felt it like would be really hard to move the dilator in and out. But in terms of irritation, it didn't irritate me at all. And it did work quite well for the first couple dilators. And then I had to change. So that one's probably the least expensive one that I bought. Alakadabra, I don't remember the price point. I ordered it off Walmart, but I think it's fairly on the cheaper end of things. It's basically just aloe vera. So this one with dilators was a little bit easier because it's just a squeeze bottle. So I don't have to worry about having something to scoop the product out and all of this disinfecting back and forth. I can just squirt it on. It's primarily aloe based, so no irritation on my end. It felt very good, very like hydrating. It's also very cooling. I guess like, you know, if anyone's ever like sunburn themselves and then you got to put aloe vera on, it has that like cooling sensation. So it felt very soothing, which I enjoyed. But again, I felt similar to the coconut oil that it just wasn't providing me with the kind of texture that I was after. Like I really wanted something thicker and more substantial. So that was aloe vera. Then I tried water-based. The next ones are all kind of in the same price point. I think Uberlube is the most expensive one, at least in Canada. So yes, water-based, I liked it. It was the best one out of those three. It started to get a little bit thicker. It started to give me that consistency I wanted. And the great thing about Yes products is they have a line. So they have Yes water-based, they have vaginal moisturizers, they have a lot of products, but this company makes products specifically geared to folks with lichen sclerosis, lichen planus, those that have any kind of gynecologic cancer. So they're really geared to individuals like ourselves that have these, you know, particular, you know, concerns with our vulvas. Right. So that to me was a good, I was like, okay, I think this one will be good. And it is. I absolutely love this company and they have the best customer service. Holy crap. They are wonderful. So I really liked that one for the dilator. This is again in a squeeze tube. I have it here. Looks like this. So you just squeeze it out. So again, we don't have to worry about the coconut oil with a spoon and all of this stuff. So less mess.
Easy application.
Yes, neat application, more of that texture. And then education, right? So I used UberLube, which is a silicone base. Mm-hmm. And UberLube is, this is the thing.
Okay. So
this is 50 ml and this is 18 USD. So this is like more expensive in Canada, and then the shipping was a lot. So this one is probably the most expensive one because of where I live. And this is very small. So look at this.
Yeah.
Compared to this. And then slippery stuff, which I'll talk about last because it's my favorite one. So bang for your buck, right? Like, so UberLube was the most expensive one for me. And again, I didn't know that you weren't supposed to use silicone lubes on silicone products.
Right.
So I used it on with my dilators and I was like, this is awful. Like, I felt like it wasn't, it didn't burn me. It didn't irritate me, but performance wise, like I felt like I could barely get it in. It just felt very not.
There was no slick at all. It was just
And I was really shocked because again, UberLube is highly recommended by pelvic floor physiotherapists and I had heard great reviews about it. So I was kind of like, okay, well, you know, and I knew coming into this that there's some experimenting and even right. though everybody else likes it, doesn't mean I will.
Right.
So then I decided to give slippery stuff a go, which comes, I get the pump. Now I get the mega bottles because I like it so much. So it also does come in a squeeze bottle, like yes, water-based, but I now get like a big gallon thing with a big pump and I just go to town because again, yeah, that's my ultimate favorite one. But, and I was so surprised because I had such a poor reaction to it initially. But in terms of that je ne sais quoi that I was looking for in my lube, that like thickness that I was after, that consistency mm-hmm. that I wanted, this was like 12 on 10, the winner. It didn't irritate me at all, which was a big shock because again, I had to work myself up to trying this product because I had such a negative experience with it initially.
Right.
But it just has this amazing texture and the dilators glide in so much more easy. It's really thick. Like when you pump it,
yeah.
pump it out, you can see like that it's there. You can see.
Right.
It. Whereas like, you know, an oil will just kind of fall flat.
Right.
This
right.
really has that kind of thickness and that substantive texture that I was kind of after. Okay. So that one was my favorite. And I think it's pretty affordable out of the ones that I mentioned. UberLube is the most expensive one. And then the Yes products are kind of a little bit less, but still in the more expensive range. Slippery stuff is in the middle. And then coconut oil and stuff would be the least expensive.
Awesome. We'll have all of these products and links to where you can get them in the show notes and in the description. So if you swipe on your podcast app, you will be able to get to them from there. Now, those were with the dilators.
Right.
Was it a very similar process when you were then moving on into penetrative sex?
Yeah, pretty similar. I think we started the first couple times with coconut oil, again, because this was recommended by pelvic floor physiotherapists and gynecologists. And I felt comfortable with this because I had used it inside the vagina and also right. on the vulva, knowing full well that in and of itself was okay and safe for me. And it worked quite well. No massive complaints other than, again, the mess, because now we have to put it on two people.
Right.
And if you need more midway through, you're like getting the spoon and it's just awkward. It's just a lot of work kind of breaks the mood a little bit and it's really messy too. So I always have like a towel underneath me and then a towel next to like get it off of our hands.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit messy like that, but you know, it did the trick. And then I think after that one, I basically started with Yes Water Base.
Okay.
Which again, I really liked, but I wanted it still a little bit thicker. I wanted there to be a little bit more oomph to it.
You wanted to feel it there.
Yeah. Like when I say I use lube, like I use a lot of lube. Like when I think it's just enough, I go for another pump just to be sure. So then I started using slippery stuff and I was like, yes, this is the one. It lasts very long. It doesn't irritate me. I find it very like soothing. It's got like a silky like texture kind of, so it just feels very good. So that's pretty much my all-time favorite. Now I did try the Uber Lube since I discovered that, oh, the reason I didn't like it with my dilators was because you're not supposed to use it with your dilators. So I was like, okay, let's try with sex. And I have to say it's better with penetrative sex than it is with a dilator. But I think for me, the decision to kind of just stick with slippery stuff or yes was a price point thing. For such a small like bottle, it was just, I was much happier with the other products. So I went for that. And there's a lot of things that you consider when getting a lube, and finance is one of them. So
absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Especially if you're going to be using it way more often, you know, it's something that can add up. And if you're doing, you know, some kind of dilator protocol, you are going to be using it on a daily or multiple time weekly basis. Mm-hmm. So take that into account, because the price can, you'll go through it pretty quickly, I would imagine. So
yes, I definitely make these companies happy. Because I was doing the dilators, you know, for like 4+ months, you know, just like forever I was doing the dilators. And then now.
And now you're looking like a rabbit.
So. Yeah. And I use a lot of it too, right? Like, because I tend to be drier down there, and because I just want to make sure things are very nice feeling.
Yeah. So I'm excited because we are working on something in the Lichen Sclerosis Support Network, which is our nonprofit, if you don't know, that we're working on creating a sample box for you so that you don't have to, you know, buy all these big products to find out which one works for you. And so stay tuned for that. That will definitely let you know on the podcast when that comes out. But I think that's going to be helpful for you, not just for lubes, but also for moisturizers and barrier creams, because those expenses can get up too as we look for what works for us, what doesn't work for us. So,
yeah. And that's so exciting and like a dream come true, like what I wouldn't have done to have had that available to me back then, because as I said in the beginning, our LS is very individualized and the products that we like are also very individualized. What works for one may not work for another. Now, I gave quite a few examples of what I used, and I bought the full product of it. That in itself is very expensive, but you don't know if this is going to work. So you might spend $60 on a lube that you try once that doesn't work.
Yeah. And then what do you do with all the lube that's left over? You know, so, do you call your friend, hey, do you need some lube? I don't.
That is exactly what I do. Because, you know, I'm very open about my LS, obviously. You know, I talk about it all the time. I talk about it on my blog. I talk about it on my personal Instagram page. Every single one of my friends knows that I have Lichen Sclerosis. They probably all have a vague idea what my vulva looks like because I talk about it so damn much. I'm not that I've shown them per se, but like, you know, I'm so descriptive that I feel like they probably even know what that looks like. So, you know, if one doesn't work for me, I'll literally call up a friend and be like, hey, I have a water-based lube. Do you want it? And they always say yes. So I just give it away. But, you know, so it's still goes to use, so it's not wasted, but it's still, you know, it's a financial stressor to have to put out this kind of money to find a product that worked for you. And I remember Kathy one time saying I wanted a lube Sephora, because when you go to Sephora, right, skincare and skin on your face, skin on your vulva, skincare is expensive. Yes. Like an eye cream average is like $80. Like it's wild. But at Sephora, because they know how much their products cost, you go up and you can ask for like a sample. And I was like, I wish I could just get like little samples of everything, do my little patch test, and then go back and buy the one that works for me.
Exactly.
So
we're going to make that happen.
So exciting, and will help a lot of people really just narrow down what works for them without spending, you know, $300. on.
Yeah, because some people don't. I know I don't have $300 to be testing the market. So love it.
Yeah.
So we've heard about it from your end. Has your partner said anything about their favorite or, you know, any comments on the lubes from your partner?
No, not really. I think the Slippery Stuff one or the water-based one by Yes work very well for us both. We both really like those. I think he was fine with the coconut oil, but agreed that like the mess was just, again, like we have sex frequently now. So it's a lot of towels. We have to go through like our laundry doubled because we were just using the towels constantly. So these are really easy, right? Grab and go. You just, you're done.
And just to be clear, you're not using condoms. So it's okay for you to use
the oil based.
The oil based. Yes.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah.
The oil based lubricant. Awesome. Yeah. So that is, I've learned a lot about lubes. That's amazing. And like I said, all of these links to these products will be available in the show notes. Is there anything else we need to know about lubes?
I guess just when you're picking a lube, do some research. Mm-hmm. Think about the usage. So are you buying this lube only and exclusively for dilators? Are you buying this lube for dilators and eventually sex? Are you buying it for sex? Do you use condoms? So think about all of those things when you're buying your lube. Secondly, look to resources like Dr. Krapp and Dr. Heather Jeffcoat. Talk to your pelvic floor physiotherapist and see, you know, the type of products that they recommend, because those are typically more geared for folks with LS or different vulvovaginal conditions. Think about texture too. You might have textural preferences. So oils tend to be very thin, and that might not be something that you're looking for. Maybe you want something thicker, but maybe you do want a thin oil. So think about the kind of texture that you want. Think about the price point, because realistically, most of us have to budget our money, and price point does factor into our decisions. So for me, the best one is also the most economic one for me, which is Slippery Stuff. So that's something I have to consider. So there are other products that worked, but I was like, I'm going to go with this one because it also has, you know, a cheaper price point. Mm-hmm. And then finally, I would say, be mindful of ingredients.
Yes.
So ingredients are hard to read, especially if you're not used to reading these types of ingredients. And I am no expert, so I'm not going to comment on specifically what you need to know. But some things to be mindful is, how many ingredients are there? Mm-hmm. So if you have a product that has like 30 ingredients, maybe not the best one. And the reason we talk about trying to find lubricants with minimal ingredients is because if there's only a few ingredients, you're in a position to way easily identify which ingredient might be irritating you. Yes. So if you use Alakadabra, which is primarily aloe-based, and you have a reaction, it's very easy to now know aloe vera doesn't work for me as an ingredient. Similar with coconut oil. If that doesn't work, you know that anything that includes coconut oil could potentially be irritating for you, because a lot of these plant-based lubricants can sometimes have coconut oil included in their list of ingredients. So if you now know that, that's one that doesn't work for me. Also, if you have allergies, you probably know which ingredients to look out for. So that's, you know, another thing to be mindful of when you're looking at these things. I think Slippery Stuff has like 4 ingredients or something pretty small like that. So does, yeah. So do most of the products that I mentioned. They're pretty minimal, but when you kind of get the over-the-counter lubes at the, you know, CVS or your drugstore, like you'll just see endless ingredients. So that,
And a lot of like thing is, when you do look at the ingredients, if there's like a whole bunch of words that you don't understand what they are, probably not a good idea, because it's a lot of more chemicals and synthetic things. And we want to keep our vulvas, the products on our vulva, more natural, and keeping the ingredients to a minimum. And that goes with anything, with lubes, moisturizers, barrier creams.
Also, some lubes have like scent. Mm. So some lubes, that's another thing to be mindful of, is that when you're looking at the ingredients, if there's some kind of perfume or essential oils, some people, it will cause no issues, but it could cause an issue for you. So that's something to be mindful of, again, when you're going through the ingredients.
This has been an amazing conversation. As always, I love talking with you. And so I want to make sure anybody who, please, 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 if you want to get some great information, if you want to learn about Jacqueline's journey, follow her on Instagram and Facebook at The Lost Labia Chronicles. Join her email list so you get notified every time she drops a blog. It's at lssupport.net/jointllc. And if you want to talk to her and ask her a question, shoot her an email, lostlabiachronicles@gmail.com.
Definitely don't hesitate to reach out to me if you want to talk. I'm always happy to talk to people.
That was amazing. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Very cool, right? Did you know there was so many different type of lubes and what went with what? Because I didn't. And Jacqueline didn't when she first started. So this is something that's not talked about. And I hope it really helped you in deciding what lubes you were going to try, what kind of things to look for. And I want you to shoot me an email. Let me know what you found helpful. And if you have a favorite lube, shout it out. I will put it in the show notes so that other people can find out as well. If you enjoyed that conversation and you have questions, make sure you're following Jacqueline and myself at The Lost Labia Chronicles and at Lichen Sclerosis Podcast on Instagram, because we are going live on Tuesday, the 23rd at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So have your questions, you want to come and talk about lubes, you can come up on stage. We are all about it, okay? And if you can't make it, make sure you're following me, because I'm going to have my sticker so you can put your question up in my stories. Ask your question, I will make sure it get asked, and then you can watch the answer during the replay. Like I said, Jacqueline is all about imparting her knowledge on what she went through with mental health and sexual health. So make sure you follow her blog. She's also added a YouTube channel recently, and she has a growing following on Instagram. So make sure you follow her there at The Lost Labia Chronicles. All of her details will be in the show notes. FYI, I will be taking next week off for Thanksgiving, but we will be back the following week. So I hope you have an amazing holiday weekend, and I will talk to you later. Bye.